Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 16 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I will be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online, we have Marana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners on the Radio Islam.
Marana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Marana, just a little bit sad that I can't be with you in the studio. I mean, the environment in the studio was so nice, but unfortunately, sometimes we can't be everywhere, right?
No, true, Marana. Inshallah, next week.
Inshallah.
Marana, we were discussing last week, and we went a bit off topic, and just a previous week, we were discussing about Suratul Kahf. We were explaining, we started the story of Dhulqarnain, and we mentioned about Dhulqarnain, the different meanings that comes out from Dhulqarnain, why he was called Dhulqarnain, because of the two braids or the two humps. And he possessed the leadership of the East and the West. And we also said that some part of his story is mentioned here. It's not the entire story. And we mentioned that something we learned from his story is that he didn't just go about, he first got the means from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He learned the geography, characteristics and culture of people, and the day after he set out, he didn't just make dua and wait for provisions to come, but he set out and he got the means. Thereafter we said that the means that we have today also, we should use it to benefit other people across the globe, spreading good. We see that we have digital technology, internet, we should use it also in a good way. Also, then we did about the places that are mentioned in the Quran, where it's mentioned that Dhulqarnain went to the west, that is, he reached a place where the sun sets in a far westerly direction. He found that the sun appearing as if it was setting in a black spring, that is the ocean, which appears black because of the vastness, and where he found a nation of kuffar living there. So we told Dhulqarnain that, O Dhulqarnain, either you punish severely them, fight them for not accepting Islam when the messages already reached them previously, or you adopt a very kind attitude towards them by inviting them to Iman for a second time before waging this jihad. And Dhulqarnain mentions that I shall adopt a kind attitude towards them. However, as for those people who oppress themselves by remaining as kafir, we shall soon severely punish them in some manner, after which we will, after his death, certainly he will return to his Lord, who will punish him again most severely. As for that person who accepts Iman and does good actions, he shall have the most beautiful reward, that is Jannah. And in addition to this, we will instruct him with lenient, easy words, command him to do only which is easy for him. Thereafter it is mentioned that ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا, he then set out on the road with his provisions. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَلَهَا تَتْلُعُ عَلَىٰ قُومٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. That until he reached the place where the sun rose in a far easterly direction, he found it rising over a nation of whom we had not given any shelter against. They lived as animals do, without buildings, homes, probably without clothing as well. Although the Quran makes no further mention of this encounter with these people, Dhulqarnain also invited them towards Tawheed, as he had done with the people from the west. And thereafter, he says, كَذَٰلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. And this is how his extensive travels was. We surely had knowledge of everything that he possessed. Therefore, whatever we narrate to you is the absolute truth and not mere tales. And I think that's where we stopped our discussion.
Inshallah, Marana, will continue from here, but I must acknowledge that, alhamdulillah, you have summarized whatever we did in such a beautiful way. May Allah increase you in knowledge, inshallah.
Ameen.
Yes, Marana, we continue from where we had stopped, and we go on to the ayah number 93 in Surah Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حتى إذا بلغ بين السدين وجد من دونهما قوما لا يكادون يفقهون قولا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that then he followed a way, Dhulqarnain followed another way, and he kept conquering until when he reached between the two mountains. Here he found by these two mountains a people who were almost unable to understand anything. As Dhulqarnain continued traveling from east of the earth, he reached a place between the two mountains, which were next to each other with a valley in between. Here he met some people, but he could not understand their speech because they were so isolated from other people. However, they said, Ya Dhulqarnain, Inna Ya'juja wa Ma'juja mufsiduna fil ard. فهل نجعل لك خرجا على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا. They spoke and they said, O Dhul Qarnayn, the tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the tribes of Gog and Magog, are mischief makers on earth. So should we assign an amount for you? In other words, we will pay you on condition that you make a barrier between us and them. Now, because they had been experiencing the difficulties and the oppression of the various people, they were experiencing the oppressions of the various people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this for us. The people that he met there said to them that we are experiencing some oppression from the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, from Gog and Magog, and they are mischief makers on earth, and we would like to give you an amount with this condition that you make a barrier between us and them. So when they said that, we may assign for you an expenditure that you make between us and them a barrier. The people of the valley informed Dhul Qarnayn, as Allah says, that they were corruptors. So may we assign an expenditure. قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. Dhul Qarnayn responded and he said to the people that what my Allah has already given me, in other words, you are offering me some expenditure, you are offering me some money in order that I prepare this barrier and provide for you some means of protection from the people that are causing this corruption. However, what I have by Allah, what Allah has given me, is far better than what you are offering me. So he said, what Allah has already given me in my control is better for me than that which you are offering me. So instead of me taking money and providing for you this barrier, help me with some manpower, help me with some labor, and I shall make a defensive wall and a barrier between you and them. Now Dhul Qarnayn, with kindness, righteousness, and good intention, said to them, that in which my Allah has established me is better than what you are offering me. Now this is very similar to like when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, will you help me in wealth? What Allah has given me is better than that which he has given you. This was when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was offered something from the Queen Bilqis. Dhul Qarnayn, in a similar fashion, says to the people that although you are offering me this what you are offering me, however, let me also inform you that that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, is far better than what you are offering me. So instead of me taking money from you, what I have is better than what you want to give me. But help me with some labor, help me with some construction, help me with some equipment. He just required manpower and equipment to create a barrier between them and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So he said to them, Atuni Zubar al-Hadid, Hatta idha sawa bayna sadafain, qala anfukhu, hatta idha ja'alahu nara, qala atuni ufrigh alayhi qitra. He said to them that bring me big pieces of iron. They proceeded accordingly. They brought for him iron until when he leveled up the gap between the two mountains in the valley. He then said, they complied until when he made it like fire. He said, bring me molten copper and I will pour it upon this. Bring me sheets of iron until when he had leveled them between the two mountains. He said, blow with bellows until when he had made it like fire. He also said, bring me that I may pour over it molten copper. He then said, bring me zubar of iron. Now zubar is the plural of zubara, which means pieces or chunks of something. Then when he had leveled the gap between the two mountains, he put the blocks on top of one another, starting at the bottom until it reached the top of the mountains, filling the width and the height of this valley. He then said, blow, In other words, he lit a fire until the whole area was burning hot. He then said, bring me qitran, molten copper, to pour over the steel. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us the way in which Dhulqarnain had requested the people to help him with the labor so that they could cover that area. Now, when we talk about this barrier, a question may arise that where is this barrier? And where did all this happen? Some say it is somewhere in or near Turkey. However, these details are not important. It's more important for us to prepare for the trials and tribulations. We will, however, discuss details about this later, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues by saying, فَمَسْطَعُوا أَيَّذْهَرُوهُ وَمَسْتَطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبَةً. So they, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, were not able to climb it, nor were they able to make a hole in it. The way that Dhulqarnain covered this valley, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, who were the people that were corrupting the area, were unable to pass over it, nor were they able to effect in it any penetration. Allah also tells us that Ya'juj and Ma'juj could not climb over the barrier or penetrate its lower portions. The varying forms of the verbs are used here in the Arabic text to reflect the difficulty of the action referred. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj could not scale it or dig through it. This indicates that they could not penetrate it at all. And then Dhulqarnain responded, and also after all of this was done, Dhulqarnain says, هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا. He then said to them, this is a mercy from my Allah. When the promise of my Allah will come, He will make it level to the ground. The promise of my Lord is true. Now, when all this was done, and Dhulqarnain expressed his gratitude to Allah, he said to the people that this barrier that we have created is going to last for a particular time. It has a time frame. However, there is going to come a time when this barrier is not going to be of any benefit in creating this barrier. And Allah has a specific timeline for the existence of this barrier, and there is going to come a time. And that time is in the knowledge of my Allah, when the people for whom we have built this barrier, against whom we have built this barrier, will eventually be able to penetrate it. So he said, this is a mercy from Allah, but when the promise of my Allah will come, He will make it level. And ever is the promise of my Allah true. When He placed the barrier between them to stop them from spreading evil and corruption on earth, Dhulqarnain said this to them, وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمَعًا. And when is that day going to be? When is that day going to come when the time frame of Allah will come, when the people against whom this barrier has been prepared is going to stop? And on that day, which is the day of Qiyamah, we will leave them, or close to the day of Qiyamah, where all the people, including Ya'juj and Ma'juj, surging over one another. وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ. And they will surge over one another. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ. And then the horn will be blown. فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعًا. Then we shall gather them together. So what Allah is informing us here, and we will leave them that day surging over each other, and then the horn will be blown, and we will assemble them, all of them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we will leave them that day surging over each other, meaning on the day when the barrier will be breached. And these Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out, surging over mankind to destroy their wealth and property. And then will the sur be blown. A sur, it is explained in the hadith as a horn that is blown into, and the one who will blow into the horn is the angel Israfil alayhi salatu wassalam. According to a hadith narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu and attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Israfil or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can I relax when the one with a horn has put the horn in his mouth and has knelt down listening out for the command of Allah to be given to him? After giving a brief translation and explanation of these verses, let's expand on these with some details. What we have done up until now, we have just given a brief understanding, a brief translation and a description of these verses, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the last journey of Dhul Qarnayn and his encounter with a people that could not understand any language, and their encounter with a group of people that were causing corruption, and they asked Dhul Qarnayn to be of assistance to them so that he may protect them from the oppression of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. He then built for them the barrier. Some important points to remember: that they offered him money. He did not take the money from them. He instead asked them to assist him with labor, and then he built the barrier. Now this is where the crux of the story, or the last story, the lessons that we're going to draw from it, inshallah. And that is the offering of money and him performing what he did without taking the money, asking for the assistance of manpower. Because all this is to do with leadership and the challenges of leadership and the fitna of leadership that we are experiencing today. And inshallah, as we go along, we are going to draw lessons from that. Now let's talk about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Ya'juj and Ma'juj is a nation who will emerge as one of the major signs of the day of Qiyamah. They will emerge into the land of the Turks and spread mischief there. When we talk the land of the Turks, this is in some of the southern states of Central Asia, which is parts of Turkey and parts of the Russian republics. So that is the area, according to some commentators, is the area from which Ya'juj and Ma'juj will emerge. And they will emerge as one of the major signs of the day of Qiyamah. They will emerge into the land of Turks and spread mischief, destroying crops and people. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are among the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu was salam. And it has been recorded from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah said to Adam, O Adam, and Adam alayhi salatu was salam said, Labbaik, I'm at your service, O Allah. And Allah said to Adam, send forth the group of Jahannam. Adam alayhi salatu was salam said, who is the group of Jahannam? And Allah said, out of every 1,000, 999 will go to Jahannam and one into paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam that he must remove a group of people that are destined for Jahannam from his own progeny. And Adam alayhi salatu was salam asked, who are they? And Allah responded to Adam alayhi salatu was salam that from every 1,999 are those that are destined for Jahannam. One out of every 1,000 is destined for Jannah from your progeny. So, out of every 1,999 will go to Jahannam and one will go to paradise. Some say that Nuh alayhi salatu was salam had three children. The 999 that has been spoken of in this hadith, according to the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will be from the progeny of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Now, ulama have said that Nuh alayhi salatu wasallam, who was from the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasallam, had three famous children. They were Sam, Ham, and Yafith. These were some of the famous children of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Sam, Ham, and Yafith. Sam's children are the Arabs and the Romans. Ham's children are those of North Africa and the Moroccans and the Berbers. And Yafith's children are the Turks, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj are from the progeny of Yafith. Now, this is a description of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, meaning they are insan, they are human. They are from the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, from among the children of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, who had three sons, Sam, Ham and Yafith, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj are from the children of Yafith. This gives us an idea of who Ya'juj and Ma'juj are. Now, coming back to Dhulqarnain, the wall of Dhulqarnain, the emergence of the mighty tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj is a major sign of Qiyamah, as we have said. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Anbiya, when Ya'juj and Ma'juj are let loose from the barrier and they swiftly swarm from every mound, as has been mentioned in Surah Anbiya, Allah says also in the Quran in Surah Kahf, the surah that we are discussing and the ayah that we are discussing, where Dhulqarnain said to the people after building the barrier, this is a mercy from my Lord, but when the promise of my Lord comes, he shall level it down, that means the barrier to the ground, and the promise of my Lord is ever true. Zainab bint Jahash says, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting at her home, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awoke from such a sleep that his face was red, and these words were on his tongue when he got up from his sleep. And he said, there is none worthy of worship but Allah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. And then he said, destruction is upon the Arabs on account of the evil which has come close to them. He said, destruction is upon the Arabs on account of the evil which has come to them. And then he said to her, today a hole as big as this has opened the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated the size of the hole with his finger and thumb. If you make a circle with your finger and your thumb, that is the size of the hole that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had indicated to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. After awaking from his sleep, he said, la ilaha illallah, none is worthy of worship. And then he said, destruction has come to the Arabs on account of the evil which has come close to them. Today a hole as big as this has opened in the wall that Dhulqarnain had built to prevent Ya'juj and Ma'juj from coming. This is a hadith narrated in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. In another lengthy hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, it has been mentioned that Allah will send Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they will come from every lofty place. Ya'juj and Ma'juj and Dhulqarnain, many thousands of years ago, the barbarous tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj were imprisoned behind an iron wall built by Dhulqarnain, as we had explained in the ayah that we have just discussed. The ayah that which we are discussing in Surah Kahf talks about what we are just talking of. Dhulqarnain was a Muslim Arab, as has been mentioned in the books, in the commentary of Ahadith, who lived at the time of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and he is not Alexander the Great, as is commonly known, from among one of the four that ruled the entire world, the other three being Suleiman alayhi salatu was salam, Namrud, and Bukhtanazar, Nebuchadnezzar. These were some of the kings, famous kings that ruled the world. And among them, one additional was Dhulqarnain, who was a pious, just king, who was provided with all forms of strength, through which he was able to carry his conquest and missions. Once he carried a mission in three directions, and we spoke about that in length, and in order not to talk much about that, we're not going to go into the very details of his travels, because we spoke about that. I'm going to come back now, Moana, and just talk about the wall of Dhulqarnain, which we said we will talk about some details of it at a later stage. We do know, and we have made mention previously, there is no need for us to go into the details of that which Allah has not made mention details of. However, because we are living in an era where people like to investigate, we find that some scholars have went into some details. Many different opinions have been mentioned about the wall of Dhulqarnain, expressed as to the location of the iron wall of Dhulqarnain. And having read many books, the best on the subject is what Shaykh Hifdhur Rahman has mentioned in the book Qasasul Quran, Stories of the Quran. And thus I have chosen to share a brief summary of what he has written. He writes that the Ajuj and Majuj caused destruction and bloodshed in a vast area. And because of their oppression, many barriers and walls were erected in different times and in different places by different kings. Four being the most famous, the Great Wall of China, which was built by the Chinese king Fangfor 3,460 years after Adam alayhi salatu was salam was placed on earth. Now what I'm mentioning now, Wana, is just what Marana Hifdhur Rahman has mentioned in Stories of the Quran, that Dhulqarnain, or rather Yajuj and Majuj's oppression, and many walls were built to protect the people from the oppressions, and some of the great walls, and he makes mention that the Great Wall of China, which was built by the Chinese King Fangfor 3,460 years after Adam alayhi salatu was salam was put on earth. The second wall is a wall in Central Asia near Bukhara and Tirmidh, in a place called Darbant. This is in Central Asia, and alhamdulillah I had an opportunity of visiting this area and seeing some of the semblance of this wall. It was a wall in Central Asia near Bukhara and Tirmidh, in a place called Darbant. The third wall is a wall in Dagestan, Russia, also known as Darbant, near the Caspian Sea. Then there is the fourth wall, which is in the westerly direction to the third, meaning near the Caspian Sea, on the westerly direction in the region of the Caucasus mountain ranges. Now, because of these walls were built for one purpose and are all situated in the north, it has always been very difficult to determine exactly the wall built by Dhulqarnain. He further writes in his kitab that the biggest out of the four is the Great Wall of China, and nobody is of the opinion that this is the wall built by Dhulqarnain, as it is in the easterly direction, while the Quran indicates the wall of Dhulqarnain is in the northerly direction. Thus leaving the second, the third, and the fourth as the possible walls that Dhulqarnain built. Mawlana Hifdhur Rahman says that the Great Wall of China cannot be the wall because it is in the easterly direction, while the Quran makes mention of the wall of Dhulqarnain in the northern direction, which leaves us to the three other, the second, the third, and the fourth. The second meaning the wall in Central Asia near Bukhara, the third, the wall near the Caspian Sea, and fourth, the wall in the westerly direction in the Caucasus mountain ranges. He further writes that some historians are of the opinion that the wall of Dhulqarnain is wall number 3 or 4, meaning the one near the Caspian Sea or the one in the Caucasus mountain ranges. Those that have said it was or it is the wall in Bukhara have confused the issue due to the location of Darbant, which is near Bukhara and also near the Caspian Sea. The master of hadith, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahimahumullah, in his book, Aqidatul Islam, holds the opinion that the wall of Dhulqarnain is actually the fourth area, which is the region of the Caucasus Mountains. So I've just given some of the opinions of the ulama. After this short summary, Mawlana Hifzur Rahman says that he himself is inclined to Allama Alusi's opinion, which has been mentioned in Ruh al-Mani, and I can conclude with his words, we do not know the exact location of this wall, we do not know the exact location of this wall, and it is very probable that great seas and mountains stand between us and the wall, and between Ya'juj and Ma'juj and the rest of the world. This opinion is the opinion that Mawlana Hifzur Rahman has likened after giving the various opinions where the wall could be. And he says this is the opinion of Allama Alusi, and he concluded with these words, that we do not know the exact location of this wall, and it is very probable that great seas and great mountains stand between us and the wall, and between Ya'juj and Ma'juj and the rest of the world. And the reason that he has found this to be the more appropriate position and opinion is that it was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to conceal the location. And it is also in the absolute knowledge and power of Allah to keep the location disclosed. Therefore, by him concluding that great mountain ranges and great seas have become the barrier between us and the actual location of the wall that Dhulqarnain had built. And the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj are held in prison behind the wall, and they will be kept there until the time when Allah so desires for them to be exposed. Now, when we're talking about the wall and them trying to break free, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated in a hadith that every day Ya'juj and Ma'juj, who are among the major signs of Qiyamah, try to break free through the wall of Dhulqarnain until they reach the end of it to the extent that they could actually see the light on the other side. Then they return home saying, we will break through tomorrow. However, Allah causes the wall to revert to its original thickness, and the next day they start all over again. This process continues each day as long as Allah wills for them to remain imprisoned. When Allah wishes for them to be released, then at the end of that day they will say, Insha'Allah, we will break through tomorrow. In other words, up until that time when Allah desires for them to come out, they will not say, Insha'Allah, that we will break through tomorrow. However, when Allah desires them to come out, that's the occasion where they will say, Insha'Allah, we will break through tomorrow. The next day, they will find the wall as they left it the previous day, and after breaking through the rest, they will escape. This is a correct hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad, Imam Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah. Something to note here is that some ulama have written that this hadith is weak and has been taken from the Israeli narrations, and it contradicts with the verse of the Quran. They are not able to cross it or pierce it, as is mentioned in Surah Kahf. However, if found that this is a marfu hadith, it still does not contradict the Quran, as the Quran is referring to the time Dhulqarnain built the wall. And secondly, the word naqab means a complete hole through which they are able to break free. The great master of hadith, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, giving reference of Ibn Hibban and Abu Humaid, has mentioned this hadith and not raised any doubt or indicated that this hadith is not marfu, but positively mentioned that Ibn Arabi has said three miracles are evident from this hadith. and then mention the three miracles. It never occurs to these tribes that they must continue work throughout the night. After all, they are in such large numbers that they can easily delegate the work among themselves and work in shifts. However, Allah does not allow this thought to occur to them. This is one of the miracles. Secondly, it does not occur to them that they can merely cross the mountain or scale the wall, which they can do through the aid of equipment they possess in large numbers. According to a narration of Wahb ibn Munabba, it is known that these tribes are agriculturists and artisans possessing various types of equipment. Yet Allah blinds them and places a curtain over their thinking of doing that. And the third miracle is the thought of saying inshallah, if Allah wills, never enters their mind, and it will only occur to them when Allah wills that they be released. This is what has been mentioned by Ibn Hajar in his commentary of the books of Ahadith. Maulana, you want me to conclude here, or you want me to continue for another few moments?
Well, I think we can continue, for we have another 3-4 minutes left.
Inshallah. I just want to discuss something about the myth that surrounds Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Many myths surround Ya'juj and Ma'juj. One being that the common people believe that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are not human, but some kind of third being. It is interesting, it may be, to believe that they are a third being. In other words, they are some alien creations and they are not human. The reality is that they are humans, being just like you and I. They constitute 9/10 of mankind and are from the progeny of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, which we have mentioned today in our discussion. So that's the first myth that we have denied. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are the children of Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, and not one will die until 1,000 are born to him. The Messenger of Allah said, Allah divided mankind into 10 parts. 9/10 constitute Ya'juj and Ma'juj, while the remaining 1/10 constitutes the rest of mankind. In other words, from the entire progeny of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, 90% will belong to the progeny of Yafit, who is from the progeny of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, who will be the children, which is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will tell Adam alayhi salatu was salam to pick up those that are destined for Jahannam from his progeny. And Adam alayhi salatu wa salam will ask, O Allah, who are they? Allah will say, 999 out of 1,000 are people destined for Jahannam, while the one is a Jannati. On hearing this, the Sahaba were overtaken by fear, and they asked, who will the one Jannati be? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, do not grieve, the 999 will be Ya'juj and Ma'juj, while you will be the one Jannati. A second myth is that people believe that Ya'juj and Ma'juj were created from Adam without Hawa alayhi salam on the basis of a narration narrated by Ka'b. They are from the children of Adam. That is, Adam had, and they say, I'm just making mention of this, they say that Adam had a wet dream, and the semen intermingled with the earth, and they were created from that earth. It should be noted that this narration is an extremely weak narration. It is an objectional narration, as it is proven from many ahadith that the prophets of Allah do not have wet dreams, because the wet dream is from shayateen, and the prophets of Allah are protected from the shayateen. The reason that I've mentioned this is just to clarify the myth that they are not from the children of Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. Secondly, there is a hadith which can be found in Fathul Bari that clearly states that that they are from the progeny of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, and Nuh alayhi salatu was salam is definitely from the children of Adam. There are some physical appearances in with regards to Ya'juj and Ma'juj. There are many narrations regarding their appearance. These different narrations suggest that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are of three types. Some are as tall as the tree of Arz, which is about 120 feet tall. Some are forearm lengths tall and forearm lengths wide. Some spread one ear to sleep on and cover themselves with the other ear. Some also state that they are two spans tall and the tallest among them are three spans. Again, these are myths. It should be noted that all the narrations that I've just mentioned about some of their physical appearances are weak and should not be taken as the authentic ahadith, like the hadith of Nawaz bin Sam'an in Sahih Muslim suggests that they are very strong and powerful people, and that's all that we know, that they are strong, they are powerful, whom nobody has the power to fight. All the other narrations are all myths. It has also been narrated that they have wide faces, small eyes, grayish hair, and their faces are like shields covered with skin. There's a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, and this hadith actually gives you a description that they have Mongolian features, flat face, small eyes, gray hair, and when they say their faces are like shields covered with skin, in other words, if they have Mongolian features. Marana, we'll conclude here. And inshallah we'll talk next week with regards to the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj before Qiyamah, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah we'll speak to Marana next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.